Full Time.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
Many leagues across the country have come to an end over the last week or so, and the North West Counties Division, or Hallmark Security Division to call its new title, was the same this weekend, and it has been won by Runcorn Linnet. So if you go to our Facebook Live now on Radio City Talk on Facebook, you'll be able to see a big gleaming trophy in the studio, because I'm delighted to be joined by Mark Buckley from Runcorn Linnet and the trophy as well. Good afternoon, Mark.
It's nice to be back, Matt, in happier circumstances.
It's great to have you in. Well, first of all, you've got this wonderful trophy. You're going up to the Evo Stick North next year. What an achievement. What a season it's been.
It's been a roller coaster, but it's been a fantastic achievement, and couldn't be happier for the fans and everybody involved who've put so much in.
100
the manager
points.
And his staff and the players have been amazing. 100 points, yeah. More goals than that. We've looked through some of the stats, and it's been a phenomenal season.
Yeah,
it really has.
100 points in total, 122 goals. The thing I find most remarkable about that is your top scorer, I say only, I use the word only loosely, only got 23.
Yeah, goals come from all over the pitch. I think we've had 18 outfield players that have chipped in. 19, actually. We just had one more. Chris Lawton came on last week and scored. So I think we had 19 outfield players have chipped in with a goal this year. So goals come from all over the pitch. We love playing football and getting it down. And anything can happen when we've got the ball. It could come from anywhere. And that's the stats back that up.
Really do. It's a great squad. And it's a great team managed by Michael Ellison, who... Well, we hope to have here today, but I'm guessing the celebrations went on long into last night.
I think they did, yeah. They left the clubhouse in pretty good spirits, let's say that, and I know they'll have done a few towns on the way as they drop a few players off, but they have celebrated. They've deserved it. They deserve to celebrate the success because they've put so much in. It's an amazing bunch of lads. They were tired yesterday. We played our local derby with Runcorn Town yesterday, and they edged it in the last minute. Fair play to them, and they enjoyed the success of that. Our lads had played Thursday night, Saturday afternoon, Monday afternoon. It's a grueling schedule. The league hasn't quite come to an end yet. The promotion and relegation issues are settled, but these teams like Ashton Athletic and 1874 have still got a couple of games to get in this week. The schedule's been grueling through one of the worst winters we've ever encountered in local football, so... Fair play to the players. The effort they've put in has been amazing.
You got presented with the trophy yesterday then. How did it feel?
It's astonishing. To put it into words is difficult. I tried to have a chat with all of the players after the match yesterday. And for some fans who followed Runcorn AFC and then the Linnets through thick and thin, they've been waiting 36 years for a title. And it's put a lot of hurt to bed for a lot of the fans, and the outpouring of emotion, especially on Thursday when the final whistle went and we knew we were champions. We beat Squiresgate 5-0 in just one of the most complete performances we've ever put in. Squiresgate were the form side in the division. I think they were on 12 unbeaten games. And the players just followed every instruction the manager gave them to the letter. And it was just a perfect performance. The outpouring of emotion was amazing at the end of that. Yesterday was special. Everybody knew it was coming. Still at the final whistle. The fans were brilliant. They didn't run on the pitch. They let the opposition and the officials get off, and then we had a party.
Nice to do it with your local rivals there as well.
And you've got to feel sorry. The way the league's set up this year is if two have gone up, and I think three teams have really been a cut above the rest this season. That's us and Widnes and Runcorn Town, and only two could go up. If the tables were turned and it was us, I'd like to think we would have acted with the same amount of class they did. They were fabulous. They gave us a guard of honour. They just acted classy all day, and fair play to them. I'm sure they'll be joining us soon because they've been up there for years just like we have. Witness different kettle of fish. They're in the first season in the Premier Division, and up they've gone and made up for the chairman Ian Ross. He's an absolute... I admire him so much. For over the years, he's put so much into grassroots football and into non-league football, and he really deserves his success. So... it's been a great time for the borough of Halton, to be honest, with having three teams at the top. And it's a shame only two could go up, really.
It really is. We'll talk about the Evo Stick North Division that you're going into shortly. You're listening to Radio City Talk. It's Full Time with Matt Jones. I've got Mark Buckley in the studio as well. He is the Runcorn Linnet's chairman. They have gone up after winning the Hallmark Premier Division. Fantastic achievement for them. If you go to Facebook Live, as I say, you can see us there now because we've got this brilliant trophy in the studio for you to all see as well, with some lovely yellow and green ribbons on it. Talk us through some of the names on this trophy and what this trophy is as well, because it's got some great history, hasn't it?
It has. it was originally the Lancashire Football Combination Trophy, and when that was superseded by the North West Counties, the Lancashire Combination, it was presented to the North West Counties as their Premier Trophy, if you like. I'm just having a quick look on there. Lancaster Town, Chorley, Darwin, there's loads down the bottom. I mean, teams that are now in the Football League, Fleetwood, of course, and I'm trying to find some more local.
I'm sure I saw Vauxhall Motors there. Yeah.
Knowsley United, 1991. Incredible. Some real history, and it's a fabulous thing. We are looking, if the league are watching, we are looking after it. I cuddled it in bed all last night, and it's not left my sight, to be honest, but it's a beautiful thing.
He'll have to get in that trophy cabinet soon.
Yeah, we'll have to make the trophy cabinet a little bit bigger, I'll be honest. We've got quite a lot of trophies that, you know, we've acquired along the way, maybe not for achieving that much, but we have got quite a lot of silverware, but nothing that comes close to what we achieved yesterday.
Yeah, if you're not watching us on Facebook Live, which I'm guessing many of you aren't, it is, I would say, it can't be far off 2 foot tall when it's on the plaque as well. It's silver. It's got a lovely man kicking a ball on the top. It's just huge.
It's immense.
It's just brilliant. It's a fantastic trophy.
I've still not got over it, like I say. I just can't stop cuddling it. And I was just so pleased for the fans. We had like little photo sessions after the game last night, and everybody wanted their kids and their relatives to get in. And the players and the manager, again, were brilliant. They took all the photos with the fans, and it's just, it's a lovely thing to happen.
Full Time with Matt Jones.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
It means they're going up, I said earlier, to the EvoStick North, but Mark, as you've just been explaining to me off air, there's a restructure and you're in the EvoStick West.
Yeah, the EvoStick took a vote to the clubs, and the clubs voted to go from a north-south to divide into an east, a west-east divide, so we will probably go into the West Division, which, as a club, is a real boost for everybody. We were looking, there's a chance with the way that the borders were, we could have ended up in the South Division, which would have meant about 15 coach trips through the season for us. But now I think we're going to be okay with travel-wise. The boundary's much similar to what we used to in the Hallmark Security League.
And we're going to have loads of local derbies in that league for you as well, because just looking at who's in there, hopefully Prescott Cables will be in, I'm sure, that boundary. The likes of Widnes as well, who've come up with you.
Yeah, I mean, that looks like it will be our big derby game, and Widnes are in the Hallmark Security League Cup final, the Macron Cup final, so there's a chance we could face them pre-season in the Charity Shield match as well. So there's going to be some real rivalries. There's grounds that I can't recall going to in the past. Kendall Town, everybody tells me, is a beautiful, picturesque ground. Looking forward to that. Colwyn Bay, it must be 30 years since I've been to, so there's going to be a lot of places that are, after 10 years in the same division, with all respect to everybody, you do tend to know what you're doing and where you're going. So there's going to be a few surprises, which will be nice, and be better for the players as well.
Absolutely. Well, as you say, 10 years in the same division. What does it mean to the club to have finally got that promotion?
It was important, to be honest. Apart from the emotion of it, I think as a club, we've been looking for many years to get some progress. With hindsight now, I think missing out a few years on the run has probably put us in a stronger position to actually to make the move up into the EvoStick. But I think it was essential that we made some progression. I think it was really important. So it means everything to everybody. And of course, we know we're going to have to up our game a little bit. We can't just rest on our laurels. We've been working this morning on some deals to reward the fans, maybe with lower price season tickets and things like that. But work started already. It means everything. And we've really got to up our game.
Well, you talk about the fans there. 800 at the game yesterday.
890. Yeah.
So we're getting nearly 900 people there for a local derby in what, the sixth or seventh tier of English football. Slightly lower than that, I should say. That's an incredible support. And I know it was against Runcorn Town, so there was always going to be plenty of fans there. But great to see people showing their support for
absolutely
non-league football.
A few of them were a bit pink by about 5 o'clock, to be honest. It was a scorching hot day. But the atmosphere was incredible. And we're lucky, we're blessed with our kit of yellow and green, which just makes for a great visual sight when you go into the ground. Our ground's very picturesque. It's surrounded by greenery and trees. And when you walk in, balloons were going and flags were going. And it was, visually, it was stunning. It looked great. It's great to see the ground full. We've got to work on making that happen every home game now.
How many does it hold?
1,600's the capacity. So we had over 1,000 on in the inaugural game when we faced Witton Albion in a friendly. So that yesterday was our highest competitive home attendance, which was nice.
there is a huge appetite for non-league football, I think, in Runcorn particularly, because it kind of comes in the middle of the Wirral, Liverpool, Manchester, that's all right. In between. So there's no professional club right there in the middle, and that's why yourself and Runcorn Town do get so well supported.
Yeah, I think non-league will start more and more to flourish as the high-end game, it's pricing itself out of the average people now, and I think we have so many Liverpool, Everton, Man City, Man United fans that maybe now won't go and pay £90 or £100 for a day out of the football. They can come to us and a few quid to get in, £2 a pint and £2 a pie and a cup of tea and everything. It's a great day out, and the football on show, is especially this season, has been absolutely exciting to watch. So it's a good, most of the time. We've had our blips, but
no one can complain about 122 goals, put it that way.
No, not really, no. I think the thing that the manager's said and impressed on everybody is that when we do have a blip, we've bounced back so quickly. In his 2 years in charge, we've not lost two on the run. And so when we had a bad night last Monday when we lost at Northwich Victoria, and as I say, we came back with a 5-0, and that's been one of his real traits of the team, is to get them bouncing back as quickly as he can. I can't praise the manager and his staff enough. They've been astonishing from their first job in football to within 24 months picking up a title. It's incredible.
It's not bad at all. You're listening to Radio City Talk. It's full time. Matt Jones here, and so is Mark Buckley, the Runcorn Linnets chairman. If you head over to our Facebook page at Radio City Talk, you can see us on there. We're doing Facebook Live because we've got the shiny trophy in the studio with its lovely yellow and green ribbons on it as well. But let's talk about the manager, Michael Ellison, because I don't know if I was surprised or not surprised to read a little bit of news today coming out of Salford, who have sacked their managers, having won three promotions in 4 years. Of course, Salford are managed by the class of 92, so that's Gary and Phil Neville, Paul Scholes, on top of that, Ryan Giggs, Nicky Butt, so loads of famous players involved there. But they've decided that they wanted to make a change with their managers. For you, obviously, that's not going to happen with Michael Ellison, but planning will be well underway for next season.
He's already trying to pin me down for budgets and things like that, and he's so enthusiastic. He was a fabulous appointment for the club. We do have to nail his foot to the floor a little bit now, because when jobs come up, there's always that panic that you think, well, they're going to look down the leagues for a hungry young manager, and he certainly fits the bill in that front. So Southport have just appointed Liam Watson, which has pleased me no end, because that's another one that we'd have to worry about now. But I think with the Salford thing, there's a story to come out there. I don't think I've certainly not read the whole story yet, but I think there's something to come out there. There's something not quite right for me, the way that's happened. But we'll see.
It's an odd situation when you get promoted to there, going into the Conference or the National League for the first time in their history, as I say, after three promotions in 4 years. Tell us a little bit about Michael Ellison then. What's his background?
Well, Michael Ellison has always been a very, very good footballer, a tenacious midfielder. He's played at a higher level than what Runcorn Linnets were at, and then he came to Runcorn Linnets, probably made 200 appearances, and that absolutely stole the fans' hearts. I mean, we had a laugh along the way. He's not known for his goal scoring. So the day when he actually stuck one in the net has become a bit of a folklore legend in the Linnets history. But his appetite and his desire to win on the pitch just made him ideal, really. I think management's probably come quicker than he expected it to. But personally, for me and for the people at the club, to watch the way that he's grown into the role over 2 years is incredible. I mean, every night he's at a match. His poor wife must despair, to be honest. But he's taken in so much football. We can't deny the role that Matt Cross, his assistant, Danny Salt, the coach, play as well. There's nights where there'll be three matches in the Allmatt Security League, and they'll be at three different games, all of them taking everything in that they can. So they do look at the opposition. They know how to set up. We don't set up the same every game. He sort of picks a team for each game as he finds it. His man management of players has been exceptional. His appetite to not lose games of football on the pitch has come into his role as a manager, and that same desire and appetite is there. The players adore him, the fans adore him, and we have our ding dongs as chairman and manager do. There's no doubt about it. He always wants the absolute best for the club. That's never in doubt. Whatever every conversation we have, he's looking to improve something on or off the pitch. This is how we should run the tea bar. This is how we should be doing this. We should paint the changing rooms this colour. He's always looking for improvement. What more could you want in a manager, really?
Well, it's interesting to hear all of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, because this guy is not a full-time manager. This is a league that is semi-professional. So we're not talking about a Brendan Rodgers or whoever going to every game because they don't have another job. These guys all have other jobs and they're still making time.
It's the same with the players and the volunteers as well. I mean, if he's going to watch a match at night, I mean, we train Tuesday and Thursday as well. And then on a Monday and a Wednesday, he'll take a game in. And he's coming off a 12-hour shift, as we all are. And it's astonishing, the amount of effort and love that the volunteers are the same. That they'll put a long shift in at work, and then at 7 o'clock they'll be at the gate waiting to get in to start cleaning tables and cleaning out the showers and the changing rooms. And that's the way non-league is, and that's the beauty of it. There's no doubt about it.
Obviously, you're not looking to do this now, but just out of interest, what is the recruitment process like then for a manager at that level? Because obviously, at the professional level, you get inundated with hundreds of requests.
It's absolutely different every time. I mean, we're not a club that goes through managers quickly, to be honest. We like to always back the men that are in charge, but each time it will be different. With Michael, it was a situation where we found ourselves without a manager with not many weeks to go before the season, so we needed a quick appointment. Talking to him, it wasn't in doubt to anybody that he was the man to do it. He knew the players that we had left, and I mean, with Crossy, I think we've touched on this before, Crossy's from Manchester, Ello's from Liverpool, so they're covering a lot of area of the Northwest to bring in players, and there's a nice balance in the team that way. They're half and half, so there's a nice glue in the middle that holds them together as well, and the squad's really good. But as a manager, he's just been exceptional. It's lovely to see his progress, because you just know there's more to come. His desire doesn't ever diminish, it just gets more and more. Great. We're going to have a pop at this Evo Stick League now.
Well, I was going to say, finally, what is the ambition for next season and in the Evo Stick West for the first time in your history?
I've said it to fans, and I've said it, we're not going to make up the numbers. We're going to have a look at it and probably have a crack at it. There's scope there, there's playoffs. There's a lot of old friends there that we've got to go and visit. I mean, I'll be chatting to people I know, probably Atherton Colliery's and Colne and Glossop, Ramsbottom, have all made the transition into Evo Stick, and they're all there and thereabouts in that league. I'm looking for us to do quite well, to be honest. I'm looking for us to certainly compete. There'll be some comings and goings, I'm sure, on the pitch, and he'll be looking to strengthen him a few areas, maybe bring some lads in. But we're going to go and have a crack at it, there's no doubt about it.
Great to hear. We'll catch up with you over the summer and next season as well as things do unfold. But Mark, thanks for your time. Thanks for bringing
pleasure.
This lovely trophy in as well, and congratulations on a great season.
Many thanks, and thanks for your continued support on non-league, because without people like you, we can't do it. We need that support, so we appreciate it.
This is Full Time
with Matt Jones.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.